Welcome to session four of Back to Basics. My name is Brendan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Brendan.
Would you please help me open this session with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer? Thank you, God. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
This is our fourth journey back to the fall of 1946, the AA Beginners Meetings. During this session, we'll spend much of our time sharing the results of our two-way communication with the God of our understanding. We will experience the psychic change that occurs as we move from a life run on self-will to a life guided by the vision of God's will. We have demystified the 12 steps and shown you just how simple this program truly is. For those of you who will be completing your steps tonight, we congratulate you for your efforts and we welcome you to the sunlight of the Spirit. Please remember that in order to remain spiritually fit, we must be of service to other alcoholics. We can think of no greater service than helping others through the 12 steps so they too can find the spiritual solution to alcoholism. It is important to remember that recovery is an ongoing process. We don't just take the steps once and then rest on our laurels. Keep in mind, alcohol is a subtle foe. We must repeat the process again and again in order to keep in fit spiritual condition. So please come back for the next series of beginners meetings. We are sure you will gain additional insight into the big book and continue to enhance your relationship with the one who has all power. Time travel back to 1946. Welcome to the fourth of the one-hour AA Beginners Meetings. This is the payoff. This is what we've been waiting for, to recover from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body known as alcoholism. By taking the 12 steps, you will experience the spiritual awakening that will bring you a new freedom and a new happiness. Our names are Wally and
Brenda,
and we are members of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is a pleasure to be part of this life-changing process, to watch people grow spiritually right before our very eyes. Are there any newcomers here tonight without their sponsors or sharing partners? Is anybody here that's new? Okay, welcome back to everybody that's here. And as we said earlier, this is the payoff. This is what we've been waiting for. Let's see who's ready to be rocketed into that fourth dimension of existence that the big book authors write about. Will those who have taken steps 1 through 8, now working on your 9-step amends, please stand. Who is still with us? Oh my, my. And I think we have some people even catch up from last week. Thank you. Please be seated. Give us all a hand. Wow. Close to 100% of the people that started this journey 4 weeks ago. And I commend you, the ones that didn't have their fifth steps completed last week, for also being able to get the work done so that you can finish up with the rest of us tonight. Wow. We are so happy that you have chosen to live, especially when so many alcoholics would rather die than accept the spiritual solution to alcoholism. And die they will. We see it happen all the time. You have chosen to let God direct your lives. Now you need to know how to expand this new God consciousness. You do this by living steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. The 10th step is a summary of steps 4 through 9. The 11th step shows us how to establish and maintain a direct contact with the spirit of the universe. The 12th step provides us with guidelines for carrying our life-saving message to others. Let's start with the 10th step.
Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it.
In steps 1, 2, and 3, we made the decisions that put us on the spiritual path. In steps 4 through 9, we took the actions necessary to remove those things that have kept us separated from the God of our understanding. Now we're ready to grow into the promised spiritual awakening. The key to the 10th step is the word continue. In the second paragraph on page 84, the big book authors emphasize the importance of continuing to take the steps.
This brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime.
In this paragraph, the authors explain how we live one day at a time. We call this our 24-hour plan. We continue to take inventory, continue to make amends, and continue to help others every day. Let's look at the third sentence in this paragraph again. It is very important. It reads, "We have entered the world of the Spirit." This sentence contains an amazing revelation. Basically, the Big Book authors have just informed us that our lives have already changed as the direct result of taking steps 1 through 9. They state that we have already had a spiritual awakening. How could that be? Well, it's very simple. There is no way a newcomer can take these steps alone. You have not only developed a belief in a God of your understanding, but you have come to rely upon this power to help you through the inventory and restitution process. You are now living in the solution. The psychic change has already occurred. On page 84, starting with the 8th line in the 2nd paragraph, the authors tell us how to maintain this psychic change by routinely taking a 10-step inventory.
Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code.
In this paragraph, the Big Book authors present the AA test for self-will a second time. 2 weeks ago, we described how to use this test to check the liability side of our four-step inventories to determine if we need to make amends. In the 10th step, the authors advise us to apply the same test with only minor variations to our daily inventories. Here they instruct us, and this is a quote, to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. The authors even provide us with specific directions on how to rid ourselves of these self-centered behaviors. First, we must realize they are not consistent with our Creator's plan for our lives. Next, we must take the actions necessary to move from self-reliance to God's guidance. We discuss our shortcomings with our sponsor or sharing partner, ask the one who has all power to remove them, and if necessary, set right the wrong. Then we try to help someone else. The Big Book authors state that if we apply the AA test for self-will on a daily basis, God will remove our obsession to drink. This is another of the many promises we find throughout the text of the book. In the 3rd paragraph on page 84, they write,
"And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. We're not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition."
How do we keep in fit spiritual condition? By taking a daily inventory. What is our reward? A daily reprieve. The Big Book authors describe this daily reprieve in the 1st paragraph on page 85.
"It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do. For alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done."
Another reward is God consciousness, direct contact with the spirit of the universe. In the 2nd paragraph on page 85, the authors tell us,
"Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. to some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action.
Once again, they instruct us to be conscious of the presence of God. If we continue to take the steps, this power greater than ourselves will guide our thoughts and actions and strengthen our intuition, our vital sixth sense. Now it is time to find out who is ready to take the tenth step. The directions are in the second paragraph on page 84. Starting with the second line, the Big Book authors write,
"We continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along."
Will those who have taken the first eight steps and are working on United Step Amends please stand? This is the tenth step question. And it reads,
"Will you continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as you go along?"
Please answer one at a time. After you have answered, please be seated.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Yes. 10 steps. Okay. Give ourselves a hand. Wow. Let's move on to the 11th step. Step 11.
Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out.
This is the step we prepared for last session. We are now going to examine prayer and meditation in more detail. Then we'll share the guidance we received during the past week while practicing the 11th step. The description of step 11 starts on page 85 and extends to page 88. But as we learned last week, the Big Book authors have been writing about two-way prayer throughout the book. In the third paragraph on page 85, the authors advise us to conduct an 11th step on a regular basis.
Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it.
Prayer and meditation puts us directly in contact with the power greater than ourselves. Hopefully, that's what each of us has been doing this past week. Praying and listening to the one who has all power. Starting with the second line down from the top of the page, this is page 86, they make this statement.
It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions.
Then the Big Book authors provide step-by-step instructions on how to practice two-way prayer. They explain what we do at night, in the morning, and during the day. And that pretty much covers it. Doesn't it? At night, in the morning, and during the day. At night, we review the day's activities. In the first paragraph on page 86, the authors write,
"When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life?"
This paragraph contains the third reference to the AA test for self-will. The Big Book authors once again have made minor changes to the test they presented to us in the fourth and tenth steps. Nevertheless, it is still the opposite of the test for God's will based on the four standards. The test for self-will, step 11, is resentful, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear. The test for God's will, purity, unselfishness, honesty, and love. We can use this same test during our morning meditation to check our guidance. In the second paragraph on page 86, the authors provide us with directions for conducting a morning quiet time.
On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives.
Let's look at the sentence beginning with, quote, "Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking," end of quote. Please concentrate on these words. They are very important. Before we begin what? Before we begin listening to God. How do we know we're supposed to listen to God? Because right afterward it says, we ask God to direct our thinking. If we ask God to direct our thinking, doesn't it stand to reason that our next thoughts are going to be from God? What do we do with these thoughts? We write them down. And this is how I conduct my morning meditation. I read spiritual literature, and then I get quiet, do a little bit of relaxation, and then I ask God to direct my thinking by saying, God, please direct my thinking, and then I write down what I hear. Although this action is not specifically mentioned in the Big Book, it is an essential part of the meditation process. Much of the Oxford Group literature used as source material for the Big Book contains references to written guidance. A passage from page 68 of What is the Oxford Group illustrates the importance of writing down the messages we receive during our morning quiet time.
We advocate the use of a pencil and notebook so that we may record every God-given thought and idea that comes to us during our time alone with Him, that no detail, however small, may be lost to us, and that we may not shirk the truth about ourselves or any problem when it comes to us.
What do we do after we write our thoughts down? We test them. We do this because not all of our thoughts come from God. However, with time and practice, we will begin to trust our vital sixth sense. Starting with the first paragraph on page 87, the Big Book authors explain.
What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it.
To protect ourselves from absurd actions and ideas, the authors tell us to test our thoughts. In December 1934, Bill W., our New York City co-founder, used the four standards of honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love to check his thinking. In the fourth paragraph on page 13, Bill states,
I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense.
For Bill, it was common sense to use alcohol to escape his problems, and uncommon sense to stay sober and let God guide him through his difficulties. Bill's thinking changed as the direct result of taking the steps. Then on page 69, the Big Book authors disclose that in addition to our thoughts, we must also test our actions. Starting with the second line in the second paragraph, they write,
we subjected each relation to this test. Was it selfish or not? We ask God to mold our ideas and help us to live up to them.
We also test our thoughts during our morning meditation. Here's how it works. When we finish our quiet time, we check what we've put on paper. If what we have written is honest, pure, unselfish, and loving, again passes all four tests for God's will, we can be assured that these thoughts are God-directed. Conversely, if what we have written is dishonest, resentful, selfish, or fearful, only has to fail one of the tests for self-will, we can be equally assured that these thoughts are self-centered. The authors insist that our Creator will provide us with the answers to all of our questions. In the third paragraph on page 86, they reveal how the Spirit of the universe is going to answer our requests for help.
In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while.
So God is going to speak to us through inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. Inspiration, aha, that's what I need to do. An intuitive thought, well, I'll be. Or a decision, yes, No, wait. If the one who has all power is going to supply us with the right answers, wouldn't it be a good idea to jot them down so we don't forget them? We end our morning prayer and meditation by asking God to show us all day long what to do and how to do it. In the first paragraph on page 87, the Big Book authors urge us to pray.
We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We asked especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only.
The Big Book authors then describe what to do anytime we are troubled or confused. We relax and listen for guidance. Starting with the third paragraph on page 87, the authors tell us we must get beyond self-reliance if we are to carry out God's plan for our lives.
As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does.
This is an ironclad guarantee it works. From first-hand experience, we can state that two-way prayer has been working in our lives ever since we began a daily quiet time. But what if we don't receive any God-given ideas, emotions, or attitudes? And that's a quote. Ideas, emotions, or attitudes. End of quote. Let's assure you, this can happen at any time. Remember, all we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. If we don't feel the presence of God, it means we have work to do. Maybe we've taken back our will in some area of our lives, or maybe we haven't made a necessary amends. If this is the case, we take the actions that reconnect us to the one who has all power. Starting with the second paragraph on page 88, the Big Book authors state once again that we need God's help.
We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead.
In order for two-way prayer to be successful, we must constantly practice being in the presence of God. If we do the work, we will receive the rewards. A life filled with, and this is a quote, power, peace, happiness, and a sense of direction, end of quote. We'll conclude our presentation of the 11th step with a moment of silence so each of us can make contact with the spirit of the universe and receive divine guidance right now. Let's have a moment of silence and see if we can get connected or reconnected. Thank you. At the end of the last session, we asked you to meditate during the week and write down the guidance you received. Guidance can consist of thoughts, images, sounds, or feelings. We realize these messages can be very personal and are normally discussed only with your sponsor or sharing partner. However, if you believe the group can benefit from what you have received, we ask that you share us with us now. In addition, you will help those still struggling with the 11th step to see how God discloses himself to us. So whether we share guidance or listen to other people's guidance, we will be taking the 11th step. So who is willing to share what they have written? Okay.
It says, make amends today as your sharing partner suggested. Pray for the sick and suffering. Thank your mother and tell her that you will be available as a son, a friend, and a service.
Again, as we listen, we're not here to judge. We're not here to comment. We're just here to sit in quiet meditation and think of what we heard in terms of honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love, and also to determine if what we've heard is directed to us in addition to the person who has received the guidance. Who else would like to share?
My name is Roger. This morning, I was told to do no harm. That was all. Do no harm.
Okay.
That led me back to my big book to find out how to go with my dilemma without doing harm. And it kind of got me back to step three. Give it up, give it over, and be willing to accept God's decision. And get over my resentment, to put it simply. And to do that, it directed me to accept the things I cannot change. And page 449, my big book talks about acceptance. And until I can accept things just as they are, I can't be happy. This morning it worked for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to share?
Yes, my name is Marvin, and my inspiration is to look out for others and don't expect anything in return. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Who else would like to share? Come on down here so we can...
Oh, let me try. I'm James, and all I heard was talk to a fellow named Mark, and I did. That's it.
And you did. You found a Mark.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Again, whether we share guidance or listen to guidance, we are, in fact, practicing the 11th step. Now, some of you have heard my story, but I did want to take a minute to explain the importance in terms of guidance that can possibly save your life, save the lives of people around you, or give you every opportunity to become a life changer. Most of you know I was not here last April because I was in the hospital receiving exploratory surgery, and they found cancer, which they biopsied and found to be terminal and incurable. So as of April of last year, I was diagnosed with terminal incurable cancer and given 18 months to 2 years to live. I stopped doing my work because they told me that I was going to be sick for the next 6 months to a year while they gave me something called chemotherapy. But just before I was to receive the first dose of chemo, I received this message and I wrote it down. Do not let the doctors poison you. You were poisoned previously. Seek non-toxic therapy for the damage caused by the Agent Orange. I had no idea that I had been poisoned, but I interpreted this guidance as a reason to turn down the chemotherapy. And I did. My doctors wrote me up as a non-cooperative patient and refuses conventional treatment for his terminal incurable cancer. It's 4 months later that I received additional guidance, which was to donate my body to science. I checked to see if there were clinical trials, and there were. There were three of them. And all three clinical trials in order to qualify, you cannot have had chemotherapy. So if I did chemotherapy, I never would have even been looking for this clinical trial. I accepted one in Bethesda, Maryland, and flew there to be evaluated. My initial diagnosis was stage 4. There's only 4 stages to the cancer. After days of testing, they told me they could no longer find the cancer. And they were calling it spontaneous remission. I call it a miracle. And if I had not followed the guidance that I received on June 23rd of last year, I would not be here tonight. I know something just as profound, or even more profound, will happen to each and every one of you in this room tonight who are willing to practice this. I was actually practicing this for 7 years prior to receiving this message. For 7 years, every day, I would write little mundane things and things that were of interest and things that were part of to-do lists and shopping lists. But I was prepared because I knew the voice as a result of doing this practice, that when I received what I consider to be direct guidance that saved my life, I knew I had to follow what I heard. It's a very, very powerful, powerful concept. It without a doubt is the most powerful part of the 12-step program, and it will change each and every one of your lives, just as it has changed our lives, by listening to and following divine guidance. Okay, again, whether we shared guidance or listened to guidance, we have taken step 11. Yes. And thank you for sharing and for listening. Step 12.
Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Now that we've made conscious contact with the God of our understanding, we have received the greatest gift of this program, a spiritual awakening. God is now guiding us in a way which is indeed miraculous. This life-changing experience comes suddenly to some, gradually to others. In Appendix 2 on page 567, we learn more about this amazing transformation of thought and attitude. This appendix was written after the publication of the first printing of the Big Book in 1939. In the first printing, the 12-step read,
having had a spiritual experience as the result of these steps.
During the 2 years between the first and second printing, the word experience was discussed at length. Eventually, the word experience was replaced with the word awakening. The Big Book authors made this modification in order to include those whose lives had truly changed, but more slowly over a period of time. Many of you will find this to be the case also. Your lives have changed, but gradually rather than suddenly. You may not be able to point to a specific experience that brought about the change, but the spiritual awakening has occurred nonetheless. Starting with the first line on page 567, the authors define spiritual experience and spiritual awakening.
The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous.
A spiritual awakening is nothing more than a psychic change that, among other things, removes our obsession to drink. So Bill W.'s rapid conversion experience at Towns Hospital is the exception rather than the rule. In the fourth paragraph on page 567, we find the description of a more gradual spiritual experience.
Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves.
Let's look at the fifth sentence again. It reads, and this is a quote, "What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline," end of quote. The Big Book authors make it clear that if you attend these meetings and take the steps for a few months, you will recover from alcoholism. Sure, some of you will have a rapid conversion experience during the first month, as I can see that some of you already have. But even if you don't get it right away, you will still have a gradual spiritual awakening as you go through the process again and again. This is one of the greatest promises in the Big Book. Just think of it. Even under the most difficult circumstances, you will overcome your drinking problem in about 3 months. That is the worst case scenario. 3 months. In the first paragraph on page 568, we learn just how easy it is to have this promised spiritual awakening.
Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness.
That's all there is to it. If you've made contact with the God of your understanding and you've started listening to guidance, you have in fact already had the spiritual awakening. Congratulations, you are now living in the sunlight of the Spirit. Yes, yes, yes. But the spiritual awakening is just the first part of the 12th step. Yes, there's more. Let's look at what we have to do in order to maintain the spiritual transformation. Chapter 7 in its entirety is devoted to carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous to others. In the first paragraph on page 89, the Big Book authors tell us how to expand our new God consciousness.
Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail.
When we work with others, our lives change. In the second paragraph on page 89, the authors state,
"Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives."
On pages 89 through 103, the Big Book authors provide us with specific instructions on how to carry our life-saving message of recovery to others. They offer many valuable suggestions on these pages. For now, we are only going to cover a few of them. In the first paragraph on page 90, they offer this advice.
"When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity."
In the third paragraph on page 91, the authors even give us specific directions on what to say. We begin by telling the prospect our story.
"See your man alone, if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak about himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed.
For the next several pages, the Big Book authors provide us with additional suggestions on what to say and not to say, what to do and not to do during our 12-step calls. In the first paragraph on page 96, the authors caution us not to give up if we are unsuccessful at getting through to the prospect. They advise us to plant the seed and move on.
Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy.
On page 98, starting with the fifth line in the first paragraph, they tell us what to do about the person who makes one excuse after another as to why he or she can't stop drinking.
He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense.
Let's hear this again. Nonsense.
Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house.
How much simpler can it get? Trust in God and clean house. In the first paragraph on page 100, the Big Book authors inform us that we grow spiritually when we share our new way of living with others.
Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances.
On page 63, the authors state that God is our new employer. Now, in the second paragraph on page 102, they provide us with a new job description.
Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed.
This concludes our presentation of Step 12 as found in our Big Book. Let God guide you when you make your 12-step calls, and the Spirit of the universe will keep you safe and protected. In addition, by relying upon guidance, you will be of maximum service to God and the people about you. Being of service to others is critical to our continued growth and the maintenance of our sobriety. Keep in mind that one of the primary services we can perform is to take prospective members through the 12 steps in these beginners' meetings. Each time we do this, we learn more about our life-saving program and gain additional insight into the all-powerful Creator who is at the heart of our new way of living. Who knows, maybe in a couple of months, some of you will be ready to lead these sessions. As we have discovered, conducting these beginners' meetings is a real test of how well we know the Big Book. Now, all that's left is to practice these principles in all our affairs. What principles? The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. These are the principles we rely upon in order to remain in the sunlight of the Spirit for the rest of our lives. Starting with the second paragraph on page 164, the Big Book authors make yet one more statement concerning the importance of guidance and the necessity of working with others.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
We are going to close this session by reading the first and second paragraphs on page 25 of the Big Book. We have waited until now to share this powerful summary of the recovery process with you because back when we started this journey, you might not have understood the significance of what is written here. Having taken the 12 steps and having had a spiritual awakening, you are now in a position to see these words from an entirely new perspective. Your life has changed. You now realize there is a solution.
Almost none of us liked the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings which the process requires for its successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When, therefore, we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the spiritual kit of spiritual tools laid at our hand. We have found much of heaven, and we have been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence of which we have not even dreamed. The great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves.
We want to welcome those of you who have taken all 12 steps to the fourth dimension of existence. We thank you for the opportunity to be your guides for this miraculous spiritual journey. 12 steps in 4 1-hour sessions. We'd like to go ahead and close this session with the Lord's Prayer. A moment of silence, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And I also want to thank all of you from the Mesa House in Mesa, Arizona, for being part of this tremendous, tremendous opportunity to be of service to yourselves and to others. Let's give ourselves a hand one more time. You did it.